Chapter 20. Immortal.
You have a fine mind, John. We should talk and consider the options available to beings like us.
The Emperor. The triumph at Pash. When he heard the screaming, Numion drew his weapon. It was coming from the infirmary, a gut-wrenching cry of agony that shook the legionary from a dark reverie. He'd heard screaming like that before, on a plain of black sand, and it chilled him. The symmetry he found in the remembrance of one held against the reality of the other. The cry of agony ceased almost as soon as it began. A noxious stench permeated the air, whether from whatever had just happened in the infirmary, or a false sensory remnant from his bleak imaginings. It was hard to be sure. Numion didn't move. He kept his eyes on the infirmary door, glaive levelled at waist height with the vulkite primed. Behind him, the dying embers of the pyre crackled into extinction. He paid them no heed, his attention fixed. Others arrived onto the manufactory floor, drawn by the scream. Numion kept them back with a warning hand gesture before nodding in the direction of the infirmary. "What was that?" he heard Leodrak hiss, and caught the sound of the pyre guard's bolter slide being racked.
"Came from in there,"
murmured Numion, maintaining his aggressive posture.
"Who's here, besides Leo?" he asked.
He had taken off his battle helm. It was sitting by the side of the pyre, dappled with soot. Without it, he had no visibility of his comrades' positions relative to his own. "Dormadus," uttered the Iron Hand.
"Kogosi,"
said the salamander, just above the dulcet rumble of his flame igniter.
"Shen?"
asked Numion, aware of four legionaries in total, and swearing he could make out the growling undertone of the Technarine's cybernetics.
"He was dead,"
said Shenra, announcing his presence with his answer.
"No man could survive those wounds. No man."
"Then how?"
said Leodrak.
"Because he isn't a man at all,"
muttered Kogosi, raising his flame gauntlet.
"Hold,"
Numion told them all.
"Approach no closer. Out here, at a distance, we have the advantage over whatever is in that room. Dormadus," he added, "get Hriak. No one else enters. Leodrak, guard the door."
Both legionaries did as ordered, leaving Numion to maintain watch.
"We wait for the librarian. Find out what we are dealing with."
"And then, brother captain?" asked Kogosi.
"Then," Numion replied, "we kill it, if we have to."
All of them had heard rumors, war stories. Every soldier has them. They are an oral tradition, a comradely means of passing on knowledge and experience. What lent these tales credence was that veteran officers of the Legiones Astartes had attested to facts and given them in detail in their reports. To falsify an account of a battle or mission action was no minor infraction in either legion or army. All military bodies took such things incredibly seriously. But facts, explainable through scientific means or not, could not accurately and convincingly reference abominations or even physical possession without coming across as suspect. These were the words of vaunted, trusted men, captains, battalion commanders, even chapter masters. Such testimony should have guaranteed veracity and credence, and yet creatures of old night and graven sorcery had been confined to myth. It was written in ancient books that they could reshape men and assume their forms. Towards the end of the Great Crusade, evidence that was concealed at the time, but later brought to light, gave claim that such creatures could even turn a legionary's humours against his brothers. In Numion's darkest nightmares, the name Samus resonated with eerie familiarity. Here on Ranos, it had visited him more frequently. It had been the same on Viralis. They were not Xenos, and he had seen and exterminated many aliens to know this was the truth. Numion knew an old word for them, one, if spoken a few years ago, would have earned derision, but that now carried a ring of bitter and forbidding truth. Demons. And if further rumours were to be believed, the patronage of such beings was sought out and courted by the word-bearers. They had found a different faith, the followers of Lorgar. In his gut, Numion knew that was why they were here. He felt it. "Something comes," hissed Kigosi. The salamanders aimed weapons as a man-shaped figure staggered through the infirmary to reach the door to the manufactory. It was dark inside, and only a silhouette was visible through the window. "If allowed to speak, it might be the end of us," said Shenra.
"Agreed," said Kigosi.
"Wait,"
said Numion. For despite those misgivings and the threat of something unknown gnawing at the resolve of every legionary in this war, this felt different. With a low creak, the door opened, and the man they knew as John Grammaticus stepped through its open frame. His hands were raised, and when he was no more than a meter beyond the doorway, he stopped.
"Who are you?"
Numion demanded in a belligerent tone.
"John Grammaticus, as I told you." He seemed calm, almost resigned, despite the fact he faced off against 4 battle-ready space marines.
"You could not have lived," Shenra accused. "Your wounds, I saw you die on that slab in there. You could not have lived."
"And yet here I am."
"Precisely our problem, Grammaticus," Numion told him. "You live when you should be dead."
"I am not the only one,"